Into the world of music, we got a birthday today. Oh no, I think he's passed away. Gary Loizo from the American Breed. Yeah, he passed away in 2016. But he was born on this day back in 1945. Chicago band, the American Breed, with the big hit Bend Me, Shape Me back in 1968. Gary Loizo, born on this day back in 1945. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show, stevegruber.com, at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter. Find me on Twitter at Scott Bertram. And we find Steve Gruber himself this morning out in New Hampshire. I have no idea why he'd be out there. Steve, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. I'm doing well. Lost my voice just trying to do some reporting over the noise of a crowd I found last night at Southern New Hampshire University.
So, yes, the rally last night in New Hampshire from a distance here in Michigan seemed like a success. You've been to a couple of these. How did this compare to other Trump rallies?
Well, I've got to be honest, Scott. You know, the energy in the crowd last night. Now, we were at, I think we've been at three or four of these recently. We were at the event in North Carolina where they infamously chanted, "Send her back," referring to Ilhan Omar. And that crowd was pretty intense. The rally after that in Cincinnati about 2 weeks ago now was huge. I mean, it was packed to the roof. But last night, almost 12,000 people in the room, Southern New Hampshire University arena there. And I've got to be honest with you, when the president came out, and I've seen this, you've seen this several times now, all of a sudden the lights dim a little bit, they play some music, here come the Rolling Stones, and of course here comes the president walking out, shaking hands with those that are close enough that have been let in. But the energy level was so intense last night. There were like four standing ovations before he could even get one word out. I've not seen that before. And keep in mind, New Hampshire is a state that he did not win. And a lot of people, Scott, don't talk about this, but New Hampshire was the single closest state in the election in 2016. Hillary Clinton won New Hampshire by 2,800 votes. 2,800 votes. And if you look at that and you look at Nevada, where she won by 27,000 votes, and a couple of other places, you know, he could have picked up. Minnesota was only like 30,000 votes.
Right.
So you look at those three states, that's 20 more electoral votes that the president could win. He wants New Hampshire. I mean, it's pretty obvious. And it looked like the crowd last night, they might give him a run for it.
Yeah. Tell me a bit more about the crowd. I'm not sure. I didn't see the coverage. I was driving back from Toledo yesterday. But were you close to the crowd? Were you able to hear them? What were they talking about? What were they discussing, kind of before the president came out? What was on their mind?
Well, you know, I have a chance to mingle with these folks every time we do this. Cause you're in there and you go through Secret Service and you're in there for, you know, 2 or 3 hours is the crowd is filling up. We're on the media deck back there. The only thing that frightens me, and I'll get to the crowd, but when he starts talking about the fake media and they start booing and hissing at you, and I'm like, wait a second. I'm the good guy here. You know, I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
Stop going after me. The crowd itself is, they're talking about the same thing a lot of people talk about. They're talking about a guy who will fight for them. And that's really what they believe. They believe that Donald Trump is a guy that's going to go to bat for them. They don't like everything he says. They don't like everything that he does on Twitter necessarily. They don't like his style some days. They think maybe he should, back up and bring it down a notch or two. But they like him, and they believe that he is a fighter for them. And for that, they're willing to give him a pass on a lot of different issues. And last night, you heard him talk about the economy. You heard him talk about the USMCA and how important it is to ag states. And he took a long time, and if you missed this is key, talking about Michigan. He spent a long time talking about how important Michigan is again. And I go back to the article I read in the New York Times 3 weeks ago now that said the whole election hinges on Michigan. And he knows it enough to sit there and talk about Michigan for 5 minutes in the middle of this speech in New Hampshire about how critical it is to get, voters in Michigan and the USMCA and jobs and the economy all heading in the right direction. So I thought that was noteworthy certainly for our listeners, that Michigan was front and center again in the conversation.
He's been here. He'll be back, of course, President Trump. Steve Gruber with us from New Hampshire, where the rally was last night. Joe Biden took some, spent some time in the crosshairs last night. The report yesterday that, we might scale back Joe Biden's media and public appearances. We might take those back a bit. We want to limit the amount of opportunities he has to make a big gaffe. And President Trump rightly saying, you know, if it were him, man, it would be all over. If you had reports, you know, President Trump's not going to, they already say he hasn't talked to the media, even though he talked to them more than anyone else. But, you know, yeah, I'm going to stop talking to the media. I don't want to make any more mistakes. Everyone cool with that?
Here's the thing. That report was in thehill.com.
Yeah.
That Joe Biden is going to scale back his appearances to limit his exposure. Well, if you can't stand the heat of being on the campaign trail, how are you going to stand the heat of dealing with President Xi or Vladimir Putin or anybody else in the world stage, Kim Jong-un, just to name, you know, three critical relationships and conversations that must continue? And no, that doesn't sit well with anybody. In fact, I heard David Axelrod just this morning commenting on the fact that if Joe Biden isn't ready for prime time on the trail, then what happens? And so I believe, as I've thought for a while, Joe Biden's probably going to fade. But what is surprising to me today is the resurgence, if you will, of Elizabeth Warren. She got some mentions last night, too. And I think that it surprised me because Kamala Harris has turned out to be such a weak candidate. I thought she would have been stronger and better organized, and she's faded back. And Bernie. Bernie, you know, was unique in the un-Hillary and the anti-Hillary in 2016. Now he's just angry Bernie, and he's dropped to like 10 points, 12 points in recent polling. And so now it's developing, right now at least, into a two-person race between Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. But I wonder, and we had Steve Bannon on the program here not long ago, and he said, you know what? The person that's going to get the Democrat nomination hasn't even announced yet. He goes, I don't know who it's going to be, but nobody in that field can do it. And he's dead serious. Maybe it's a Howard Schultz. Maybe Howard Schultz comes out, you know, from Starbucks and says, you know, I can still win this thing, because Elizabeth Warren cannot beat Donald Trump. I mean, she can get the elites on the coast, but I don't think she gets the hearts and minds of the center of Michigan or Ohio or Pennsylvania or New Hampshire, where I'm sitting this morning.
Steve Gruber, another minute. I don't even know how much you saw this, because it was kind of breaking during the course of the rally last night. The story in the Wall Street Journal about President Trump apparently discussing the purchase of Greenland with aides. And is he serious? Is he joking around? I mean, we've got, you know what the clock is like. We got about a minute here. Any discussion about that last night?
That did not come up last night. However, I would say this. Doing some research this morning, it's not the first time this has come up. It came up around the time of the Civil War, and Harry Truman also brought this up. And by the way, Greenland played a pivotal role in D-Day, because it was the forward weather station that showed a break in that storm that gave the Allied forces a break in the weather that the Germans didn't know was coming, because they didn't have any weather stations far enough west to figure it out. And that's how we made our landing on June the 6th, 1944. Greenland, are we going to own it? I'm going to guess the Danes probably aren't going to sell it to us.
Nah.
And who really wants to play golf on a glacier anyways, Scott? I mean, come on, a little chilly.
Those putts.
I mean, it'd be a great piece of real estate. I don't think we're going
to
get it.
Those putts really run on the ice. It's hard to get a good read, you know? You can't do it. Yeah. Steve Gruber up in New Hampshire taking in the Trump rally last night. He'll be back with the loyal Steve Gruber Show audience on Monday. Steve, appreciate the opportunity to fill in. Always good to talk.
Cheers, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Steve Gruber up in Michigan. More Trump audio coming up at the top of hour number three. We talk some movies next with Ron Van Timmeren from Celebration Cinemas here on The Steve Gruber Show.
DTE wants to help your business build Michigan's future. Whether your business is large, small, or in between, a DTE expert will help you find ways to improve energy efficiency and add incentives through our many programs. Programs that can help you save money. Money you can use to create jobs and invest in the future. You see, DTE wants you to be successful. Because when your business thrives, Michigan does too. DTE. At DTE, our business is making sure you have reliable, affordable natural gas to keep your business running. So we constantly upgrade and monitor our system 24/7, 365. We also buy natural gas in the summer when prices are low and store it for winter. Because at DTE, part of our business is to keep your business costs affordable all year long. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE.
For more than 65 years, Enbridge has been safely delivering the North American energy you rely on to fuel your vehicle heat your home, and power commerce and manufacturing. We're proud to be a part of communities across Michigan and contribute millions in local property taxes each year, which helps support schools, emergency responders, and local government needs. At Enbridge, we're helping to fuel your quality of life. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Michigan. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
I'm a counselor for the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline. People don't want to call us. They're ashamed, and they don't think they can be helped. I have years of experience as a counselor, and real-life experience, too. I was a gambler once myself, so nothing you say can shock me. It's my job to help you, so call me.
Call 1-800-270-7117 for help. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.